Well, we'll wait for Emma to sit down. I like the poppy. I like that. Very, yeah. All right. At home, I'll always say, do you know the person sitting next to you? If you do, say hello to them, you know, because... Well, one of the complaints people make is, I come to church and nobody said hello to me. Now, you cannot say nobody said hello to you. All right, let's pray. Father, you are good and your mercies endure forever. We thank you that today, as we set aside this day to remember those who gave themselves so freely, we are mindful of the greatest sacrifice, that you should love something like us. And in your mercy you came down from heaven, that you might die on a cross, to set us free from sin and to give us a life that's worth living this side of the grave and for eternity. And we bless you. And we praise you. And we thank you. And we thank you that whilst we remain here, you come to us, you meet with us, you speak to us. For you have something you want to fulfill in our life. You have a purpose that you want to achieve and a destiny for us to enjoy. So, Father, by your Spirit today, will you come in this house? Will you speak to your people? Speaker and hearer need you so much. And we thank you, you do not leave us to ourselves. So, Lord, we give you praise. We bless you. Where you are today, could we just raise your hands and just bless the Lord. Thank him for his goodness, his kindness, his mercy, his love. That he don't give up on us, that he works with us. He is more committed to us than we can understand. And for that, we give you thanks. We bless your lovely name. And it's all because of Jesus, in whose name we pray and the saints of God say, amen. Amen. Today, I would like us to consider a few things from Numbers 13. And for those of you who know your Bible, it's a familiar story. It's the children of Israel going into the promised land. So they've now come to the border of the promised land, and they've sent in spies. They send in 12, and they come back with a report. Is that where we are? We are. I'm just kind of prefacing it for speed's sake, really. And they come back, and it's exactly as God said it was, a land that flowed with milk and honey. And yet 10 of them bring back a bad report, and 2 bring back an evil report. An evil report as far as the devil's concerned, a good report as far as God. You knew what I had seen. Now I was just checking that you were involved. You are engaged. Anyway, so... yeah, 10 brought back the bad report, 2 bring back a good report. Now, being as you're so engaged, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Where had they been? The land of promise. Well done. Who promised? Really, you can all go home now, because you've answered where we're going to go through all of this. That really, God had promised. So where did they break down along the line? Well, firstly, unbelief is two things. One is a refusal to believe. Because I can't say I don't believe in something I don't know. So unbelief is a refusal to believe something you know. Yeah? Secondly, though, and more importantly, it's an attack on the character of God. And that's what I'd like us to come to in a minute. You see, because, unbelief, we'll keep you out of the promised land. That's fine. It's an attack on the character of God, because you're saying, you've said something that you ain't going to do. Now, I don't like being called a liar. You can say quite a lot of things about me, but I try to be honest most of the time. You get that. Well, because we all mess up. So if anyone ever says to you, I never mess up, they're lying. So you might as well own up at the start. All right. First thing we need to decide then is the nature of God. Numbers 23:19, and I will be quick for you, because I know you all want to go and do your dinner. God is not a man that he should lie, neither is it a son of man that he should repent. As he said it, and will he not do it? As he spoken it, and shall it not come to pass? Firstly, God is not a man that he should lie, neither is the son of man that he should repent. I always just struggle on that. No concept of God repenting. But literally, repentance means a change of mind that leads to a change of direction. God does not change his mind. James chapter 1 verse 17, is it? In God there is no shadow, no variance or shadow of change. He does not change. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. I am the Lord, I do not change. Let me just tell you something. We live in a world that's saying God has changed. If you're not careful, you will go to certain churches that will say God has changed. Because I'm going to prove to you in a minute, because he doesn't change, his word doesn't change. When God said no, guess what he meant? When he said, don't do that, what did he say? Don't do that. When he said there is a heaven to embrace and a hell to flee, he meant it. So we need to start believing what God says. I've been in church, well, I've been in church a long while. But now, I sometimes hear people come out a load of rubbish, and I sit there and think, what sort of God is this? I know the Bible says, but... Yeah, I used to have a woman, that was her favourite mantra, I thought. Yeah, you'd be counselling her about her marital situation. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, you're right. I know what the boss is about. Let's all go home. Let's forget it. You know, it's so firstly, we've got to resolve God does not change. God, from one generation to the next, thou art the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As he was, he is, and will be. That's why. Let me give you some scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, not whatever, but forever, your word is settled. Established. I like that. That's why Jesus talks about a man building a house, digs down, and lays it on a foundation. That's right, isn't it? Good. Because it's established. It's a rock. It does not change. We build our life on a rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, but we also build it on the surety of his word. Well, I do anyway. One day I'm going to die. And I'm going to go to heaven. I better be pretty sure of that, aren't I? If for this life only we have hoped, we are to be pitied above all men. I might even preach some Bible for you today. I feel quite... Yeah. What about this one? Who's heard the saying, God said it, I believe it, that settles it? Amen. What a load of rubbish. What a load of rubbish. Whether you believe it or not, it's settled. You believe in it, you get the benefits. But whether you believe it or not, what a load of diddly diddly. Listen to this one, Matthew 24 and 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not, never, ever pass away. Is that what it says? You can keep up with me if you can. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 12 says this, I am what God is so committed to his word that he says, I am watching over it to perform it. Revised Standard Version. He is watching over his word to perform it. I like that. I'm not going to, by the way. I come up to Andrew and say, I'm going to give you a tenner. Don't get carried away. But now I'm looking for ways of getting that tenner to him. Because I'm trying to bring my word to pass. I want to say to you, there's a God in heaven today who's made promises to you, who's trying to make them promises come to pass. 2 Peter 1:4 says this, since we have these great and precious promises, great in their scope, precious in their worth. I like that. Do you like that? Yeah. I thought that was pretty profound, that. Great in their scope, great and precious in their worth. And yet you hear people talk the word of God, I don't know if it works or not. And the thing is, once you start on that, you end up questioning your salvation. Well, because if God don't keep his word there, I don't know if I believe in healing. Is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever? Does Acts 20:10-38 say he went around doing good and healing all the oppressed of the devil? Does he say, I never change, I am the same yesterday, today and forever? I don't know if I believe in healing. And I could talk again and again. I've been around church and heard all this rubbish. And I just sit there and I think, then how can you believe God for salvation? Yes. Let me tell you something now. You're not going to like the way I say it, but that's the easiest way to say it. It's a house of cards. Once you start saying, well, I don't know about that, but I'll cherry pick that. And I don't know about that, but I'll cherry pick that. Then it's a house of cards. The whole thing is built on sand. Either it's true or it's not. Yeah, it implodes. Now I better carry on. So God is watching over his word to perform it. 2 Chronicles, this is introduction by the way. 16:9 says this. This is a lovely one. And you've heard me use it before. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. That even includes Stonebridge, I suppose. Yeah. He is God. He's God of the universe. Most people don't know where it is, but he does. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking those whose hearts are upright within them, loyal, to whom he might show himself strong. God is looking for someone who will take him at his word. Why? Because he wants his word to come to pass. Am I making sense to you today? So God will pass over 1,000 people to find someone who will take him at his word. So for us to take him at his word, I think there are two things necessarily we need to... Well, first one, we're resolved. That he doesn't change. Next one then is this. Two things that are required to see a promise come to pass, if that helps. First one, and I think I've touched on this with you before, but I'm going to go back to it again because it's just resonating in me. God is faithful. And the second one is this, God is able. And once you resolve those, I think you are in a place to see a promise come to pass. So to see a promise come to pass, we're going to go to one in the Bible. Isaac. Because we're like him. Galatians 4:28. An interesting scripture. Now, we brethren, as Isaac was, children of promise. We are children of promise. We have exceedingly great and precious promises. So to see our miracle come to pass, Isaac was the fruition of a miracle, agreed? It took two things, Sarah and Abraham. Sarah it says, judged God faithful. Abraham, it says, judged God able. You're in a situation today. You're in a circumstance today, and you want to see God move. You want to see him fulfill his promise? He's looking for two things in us. One, that will judge him faithful. And one that will judge him able. Because that's what faith is, isn't it? Faith says, you've said it. You can do it. I'll take you at your word. So simple, and yet all of us struggle with it. So, Sarah then. Yeah. Hebrews 11 and 11 says this, that she judged God faithful. She judged him. Literally means to sit down, do the maths. It means to consider. I've got all the options for you here. To esteem. Where am I? I'm getting ahead of myself. Oh, yeah. She considered. She trusted God what he said. She believed. She esteemed. She thought. Depending what translation you want to read. She sat down and thought, God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. I'm watching over my words to perform it. My words shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish that which I sent forth to do. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will abide forever. On the light of what he said and who he is, I believe God. Nothing wrong with considering God. I think because the more you do, you consider your situation less. The more mindset you give towards him, the less you've got to worry about that. She considered God faithful. Next one is this. Oh, Brother Stroud, you do not know why. I'm living below the standard. I don't know if God will do it for me. Since when have you been playing God? How good enough is good enough? Please tell me, how good have you got to be good enough? See, now you have shifted the emphasis from God to you. That's why the Bible says when we are faithless, he remains faithful. But the end of it, for he cannot deny that he is faithful. He cannot deny himself. Yep, you're right. You don't deserve it. But I've given you a promise, and therefore I want to do it. Yeah, you're right. You're just a rat bag. But I've made you a promise, and I want to do it. Because my nature is to be faithful. Someone should start thinking, oh, praise God. Listen to this. Oh, yeah. Hebrews chapter 10 and 28. 28? That doesn't look right to me. 23, I thought so. He who promised is faithful. So, I've not got time. I'm doing well, almost. This is always a scripture that challenges me. It's Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. And he says they could not enter in to the promised land because of unbelief. How heartbreaking that God had a place prepared. God had worked his purpose and his plan. He is now ready to fulfill his promise. And they did not enter in because they would not believe that he was faithful and that he was able. Is that right? I'm watching my spell checker down there when she looks at me and goes. So I think we resolved that Sarah believed God. Abraham. Oh, this is a good one. Romans chapter 4. And for those of you, when you get home, if you want a good Bible study, it's Romans chapter 4, verse 19 through 23. So God's given him a promise. Ready? I'll just skip through some of it for you. Yeah. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body since he was 100 years old. Well, plumbing's not all it could be. Nor the barrenness of Sarah's womb. She was a slip of a thing, a mere 90. Sometimes, you know, we talk ourselves out of God's ability by looking at our ability. That's why it's called supernatural. Because if it was natural, you don't need God. That was good, that one. No, that one ain't in the notes. That's a freebie, that one. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief. Through what? Unbelief. But strengthened his faith, giving God glory. And I love this old concept of Abraham walking around Mothercare, though it don't exist no more. That'd be another miracle. But walking around Mothercare with a trolley. What are you up to, Abraham? Oh, I'm just getting a few bits. What are you doing? Well, is that for your grandchildren? No, me and Sarah are going to bash one out. How old were you last birthday, Abraham? Oh, just 99. And Sarah, how's she getting on nowadays? She's just a slip of a thing. Oh, what are you getting there? Oh, okay. Yeah, all the necessaries. See, sometimes people will think you are absolutely stupid. Because you're believing God. Amen. He strengthened his faith, giving God glory. I thank you for the baby. Oh, I'm excited. Listen, if you've got nothing else and you're going to heaven, you could come to church and I'm not going to hell. Ah, thank you. It's enough. If he did nothing else for us, it's enough. Sins forgiven. Joy. Do you know what? I tried being miserable once. I didn't like it. People say to me, how are you? I said, well, I go to bed like this and I wake up like this. It's a medical condition. Weird. But we're saved. You want to bring a smile to your face? Just think where you've come from. Think where you are now, by the goodness of God. Yeah? That's enough. That is enough. 10,000 million reasons, whatever it is. I like that song. I like that song. Oh, in fact, I sang it here when I said to my bloke, oh, can we do that? He said, oh, yeah. We cannot enumerate. I'm vocal, yeah. We cannot number how good God has been to me. You know, he woke me up this morning, sent me on my way. I remember some of my African American friends would say, there's lots of people who'd like to see you today. They will not see it. He's giving you the very breath that you have got. Anyway, come on, look, I've got. So they're there. He's Abraham. He's believing God. Oh, what's it say about him going around Mothercare? Ready? I've just got to finish that. But he believed God that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Jeremiah 32, isn't it? Verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything, I love the way he said it, you are not the exception. Let's burst your bubble. You are not the exception. Is anything too hard for me? The prophet turns around and says in verse 17, our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Nothing, absolutely nothing, that includes your situation, is too hard for you. Is that right? Jesus worded it like this, Matthew 19 and verse 26. With man, it is impossible. But with God, most things. Does that include your situations and your circumstances? So you've just got to gag out all things. The devil hates it when you do. That's why Mark chapter 9 verse 23 says, all things are possible to him who believes. That all things are possible with God. You do not have to believe for yourself. You have to believe what God has already said he will do and what he is. What about this one? Two blind guys come to Jesus. Jesus says to them, do you believe I can do this? I believe the Holy Ghost would say to you today, do you believe I can do this? Because all things are possible to those who will believe. That all things are possible with God. And I will skip to the closure. Look at that. Numbers 13, ready? They all saw, they all went to the same place. Agreed? They all saw the same things. Is that right? True? And yet they came back with different conclusions. Let me just give you a few considerations. 10 saw with the eyes of the flesh, 2 saw with the eyes of faith. 2 looked at their natural means to do it. 1 looked at the supernatural promises of God. Let me ask you today, how are you looking at your situation? Now don't make it up. If God ain't promised it, he ain't going to do it, by the way. My one on that is God don't pay for what he ain't ordered. Pardon me, he hasn't ordered. God doesn't pay for what he has not ordered. But if he does, if he has, then he will. So presuming you've got a promise from the word of God, though it tarry, Habakkuk, though it tarry, it will surely come. For it has its appointed time. That's another one not for today. It has its appointed time. Again, let me ask you to consider this. 10 saw the problems, 2 saw the possibility, the promises. I'll very quickly take you to David and Goliath. Yeah? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Goliath was like half of me again. So he weren't that big. Quite big. Not much. See, all Israel saw the size of the problem. David said, a guy that big, how could I miss him? How are you seeing your situation? For if God be for us, who can be against us? It's God who strengthens our arm for battle. We could go into that big time, but we've not got time. Numbers 13:20. So we're having a good old, talking them all out of it. And Caleb stands up and says, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able. The title of this little message for you was, we are well able. And why are we well able? Because God's already promised it. And if God be with us, and we'll see, this is my closing one in a minute. Where are you? Maybe there are things in your life today. Your marriage, your home, your family, your health, your wealth, your circumstances, your situations. But if God has promised, he is watching over his word to make it happen. But do you believe he is faithful? How do you judge him? And that he is able. For it will surely come to pass. Look at that. I've got 5 minutes and I'll be finished at 4:15. It's a miracle. Come on, it's a miracle. If you had time, you could go to Acts 27. It's around about verse 23. My wife's going to put me right on that. And the boat, remember the story? Peter in the ship. The ship's going down, and they've thrown all the stuff overboard, and they've prayed, and they've fasted, and it's been dark at night, and all of a sudden this crazy Pentecostal comes up and says, come on, take heart, brethren. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve. And he has said to me, none of us will lose our life. And I believe God. This is 23, isn't it? Acts 27, verse 23. For I believe, 25. Yeah. For I believe God that it will be exactly as it was spoken unto me. When did he say that? While he was still in the middle of the storm. It's easy to shout on the victory ground, It's quite hard to shout when you're in the middle of the battle. But that's where we can shout, because God has promised the victory. Oh, I thought I'd done pretty good today. Yeah, anyway, there we go. Closing. Yeah, you like this. Will we die in the wilderness of unbelief or possess the promised land? Why? For we are well able. Can I close then? Numbers 14, verses 6 through 9. And this is Caleb. Well, Joshua and the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of him, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, a sign of desperation and despair. And they spoke to the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people, for they are our bread, and their protection has departed from them. And the Lord is with us. And the Lord is with us. Shall we stand? Because I think today we should. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you will come. The Bible says you send a word to heal us and to deliver us. Psalm 107, verse 20. Come, Holy Spirit. You see the hurts and the pains and the failures and And it's become so easy for us to accept defeat or rejection or say, well, yeah, I used to believe that, or it was possible last week, but I don't know now. But Lord, you do not change. And your word does not change. So now, Father, as we have sought to see that you are faithful and you are able, we take your word, only believe. And by your Spirit, I pray that you would just drill down into our heart this truth, that we might be doers of the word as well as hearers, that we might take you at your word and watch for you to perform it. And Lord, we'll have joy while we wait, for we are expecting a great miracle. And we give you praise and we give you thanks today. Amen. 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 Good.